I want to skip over item one. Note for the record that trustees Cannon, McDermott, Morrow, and Elliker are here. Item two, approval of the minutes. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So Trustee McDermott made the motion to approve the June 29th, 2023 meeting minutes, and Trustee Cannon seconded. Any discussion? Any discussion? All those in favor, Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. That item passes. Item three, we're going to continue to keep that item tabled. Item four, the applicant has requested that be passed over on the agenda. Item five, contribution withdraws information only. Just note for the record, David Lavorgna and Jacob Sosik for contribution withdraws. We're going to item six, survivor death after retirement, information only. Just note for the record, the passing of Joyce Paracone. If we could take a moment of silence for to reflect on Joyce, please. Thank you. Item seven, payment of the bills. Is there a motion to approve payment of the bills?
Motion. Second.
Mr. Cannon made the motion. Mr. McDermott seconded. Any discussion on payment of the bills? Any discussion on payment of the bills? All those in favor, Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Morrow?
Aye.
And I am an aye as well. So the bills are paid. Any old business? Any new business? We'll go back to item one, investment report. Raymond James.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Leon, if you want to pull up the report, appreciate it.
Taylor, just give me share access, please, and then I'll pull it up.
All right, you're all set.
Okay, so great. So this is an important report. So this is as of 30th, which is the end of the fiscal year. This is a preliminary report. A lot of the information on this report is up to date because it prices daily. There are some things on this report that will lag, as it always does. But we have a very good snapshot here of where we should land within a small window. So we want to go to the first page. Starts off with the total portfolio on the top left. If everyone can see that. So the $353 million is including the non-daily priced investments. So the private investments, private equity, private real estate. Most of those have only really priced for the first quarter. It's going to take another couple months for it to price out for the full year. And as those trickle in, we'll get a better understanding of exactly where we're at. If you look across that number to the July 22nd column right there, that's the fiscal year number. So the lagging part of that is still at 8.5% for the last 12 months, which is a great number. Below that number is the active stuff that we own, the active stocks and bonds. So the $282 million, that portfolio is up over 10% for the year. To put it in perspective, so go back up to the first line, the 352, and go over to the right to the three-year and the inception numbers. As you can see, those numbers end up becoming better over time because, again, the private investments are priced in. So very good numbers for the year. To put that in perspective, because we all sit here and talk about numbers, but it's not your 401k, it's not your IRA, it's a big fund. So where does that compare to most of the United States when it comes to fund sizes? Very few funds with data, but of the big ones that have come out, CalPERS, which is the largest fund in the country, just north of $400 billion, their estimated return for the fiscal year is 5.8%. Houston Police, $7 billion fund, 7%. San Mateo, California, 5.6%. Louisiana Police, 7.8%. So the preliminary numbers that are coming out puts the city of New Haven's police and fire pension in a very good shape, relatively. Going down to large cap, a great year. A lot of money's been made in large cap stocks, as we know, especially large cap growth. So if you look at Sizer, like we talked about before, it's a combination of both growth and value. So they've done well, especially for the 1 year number of 13 and the fiscal year number. As a group, this portfolio is up 15%. Below that, the Atlanta portfolio is where you're going to see that magnificent seven. That's where those numbers are coming from, the Amazons and the Metas and the Googles and the NVIDIAs. So that very narrow growthy market that's really driven the NASDAQ to new highs and those type of equities to new highs is really driving that portfolio. So you can see the divergence between the Russell 1000 index against that at Atlanta, where you go down to Aristotle, which is pure value. If you look at that number year to date, that index is up 5%. Versus the growth index, which is up 16%. So again, it's been very growth run. We do have a decent amount of exposure to that, and it's done well for the portfolio. And of course, over time, those balance out, and now we're finally seeing a little bit more breadth in the market where other stocks are participating more on the mid and small cap size, and the breadth of it, meaning that more stocks are participating in the returns versus that very narrow group. Below that's our mid-cap managers. Both of those, again, year to date, and the fiscal year numbers are good. The group's up 1378 for the fiscal year. Below that, you see both numbers are positive and above their index. So Mutual of America up 1509 for the fiscal year, and Cook and Beal are up 1450 versus 10.5. So good performance there. Went on to the next page, please. Small cap, international, and fixed income. Small cap. As a group for the fiscal year, up 14%. We talked about ClearBridge. There's a slide in there. I'm not going to go through it. Leanne, I actually pulled it up first. I told you I'd reach out to ClearBridge and find out what's going on there because there is some lagging numbers in the last year or so. Their since inception numbers are very good, but they've been challenged. And their story after I spoke to them was the fact that bio stocks in the small cap space have really dominated the returns with the type of buyouts that have been happening. They have a very low exposure to that and a number of other things, but we'll continue to communicate with them. They're not on watch. I think they'll come back. They've had a history of bouncing back strongly in these type of scenarios. Channing below that, very good relative to their index, pretty much in line. And then Cook and Beeler again has had a very good run on the small cap value side also, whereas they're up about 1,000 basis points over their value index for the fiscal year to date, 16 versus 6. International as a group up about 20%. Great again, great numbers. WCM is a investor, a management company that we spoke to a couple years back and felt comfortable holding on to them and for good reason since they're up now about 300 basis points over their index and their long-term numbers are good. Exponents is a newer manager, up about 11% year to date. Those numbers will continue to be added once they have more time in the portfolio. But since inception, 18 versus 13, which is good, very good. MFS doing their job very much in line. Fixed income, year to date number, across the board, 2.5%. That's good. We're still lagging in the 3 year number because, again, it's been a challenging environment when it comes to fixed income. We've had a very steady 10 year now for a number of months, so fairly benign returns there. And rates keep on going up on the short end of the curve that we'll talk about in a few. But as far as long end of the curve, where it really drives the pricing of these bonds has been pretty benign. So we need exposure to that. I'll talk about that in a few minutes as far as where we are and why we think we're at level. Next page is cash in Alkyon. That number is not accurate because we paid more benefits. So we're getting into the type of year. Now we're down probably in the $2 to $3 million range. We're at that point in time in the year. Late summer going into the fall where we have to start trimming the portfolio across the board to raise cash to pay benefits. It's not uncommon. We've been doing it for years and we take it usually equally. Sometimes we take it from portfolios that have run extraordinarily well, but we'll make a decision to trim it and make sure we can pay those until the ARC comes in and when it comes in. Leanne, if you could page down to page 15, please, on the top part where it says 6 out of 7, down to 15.
And just to note that we've been joined by Trustee Brooks and Trustee Rivera.
Okay, sorry, I'm the only one not looking at it. Talks about our allocations. One more page. Oh, that's good. That's good. Okay. So this is our target allocation versus our current allocation. So our investment policy talks about what we're allowed to own, and then we have a target allocation, but within that, we can be tactical and strategic to slightly underweight or overweight his target. So you can see on the bottom right-hand side, it says target range. There's room in there to you know, do what you like. Obviously, we're not going to be 20% domestic equity, but it's in the portfolio range if we wanted to. IPS range on the far right, we're within range of all asset classes. If you look up to what I was talking about on the current allocation versus the target, we're overweight on the current allocation U.S. stocks for a reason. We're bullish on U.S. equities. If you look to the bottom left-hand side, the light blue talks about fixed income. We're light fixed income versus our target allocation. We've been negative on fixed income for quite a while now. That will stay for now. Going into the third and fourth quarter, especially the fourth quarter and the first quarter, we'll be looking at possibly tweaking that with new money as it comes in. One more page just talks about a little more specifically the allocation when it comes to these asset classes. And the only one that we're out of line really with is just large cap equity. And we talked about the fact that it's just done so well that it's outgrown its allocation as far as on the top side of it, which is good. We'll trim from that to bring it within line, but it's a good reason why it's out of line because it's grown so well. With that, I'll open it up to questions for myself. I'm going to leave it to Derek today on our team to go through some of the market highlights and market commentary and where we think things are going. Since you hear me talk so much, we'll have him run through that. It's a quick meeting, as we all know, Derek, so better, and I'm sure you're aware of that. So.
No problem. So actually, would you mind if I drive just to make this thing go a little quicker? Is that cool?
No problem. Let me stop sharing.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Again, just for the sake of brevity, we'll burn through this pretty quickly. I just wanted to touch upon a lot of the things here. Hold on. I'm just trying to move this thing so I can make this bigger. So basically, we talk pretty much every month about what's been happening in the markets, and we just want to kind of give you an update of where we see things going in the future. So I'll burn through this pretty quickly. For the second half of the year going into first quarter of next year. So basically, as you all know, the Fed has been raising rates pretty aggressively to stave off inflation. And, you know, that typically just chokes off a lot of the demand, which should slow the economy a bit. We haven't really seen that in the stock. So the stock market's done very, very well. So it's very split between economics and finance. But what I really want to concentrate on is where are we going in the future? And where do we see the year ending up? And ultimately, the theme is volatility from here on out. So let me just do a page one here. Go to page 34. So we anticipate a volatile market for the second half of the year. So there's been, you know, it's been straight up because of the dovish commentary from the Fed the first half of the year. That's really driven the growth stocks like Dave talked about. But one of the things that we look at is what are the indicators telling us for next year and the second half of this year? And the yield curve inversion, when the short end of the curve over here on the left side is higher than the long end of the curve, that's called a yield curve inversion. That's almost always indicative of a recession. So now the commentary is, okay, is it going to be a deep recession, a shallow recession? Soft landing, hard landing. You'll hear a lot of that in the commentary. But you know, ultimately, we anticipate the recession is going to be pushed off probably into the first quarter of next year. All signs look to a shallow recession or a short-lived recession. So that would be ultimately good, a soft landing, if you will. But this chart right here on the left, I just want to highlight each one of these red bars show when yield curve historically has inverted, like it has. And then the gray bars immediately after it are a series of recessions. And you can see the light blue. I know there's a lot going on here. The light blue bar is the S&P 500. So a lot of these things are overlapped. But as you can see, pretty much every time yield curve inverts where this red is, there's a recession after it. And that's what the gray bar is. Some are longer than others and some are short. So that a lot of that has to do with Fed interaction. So the Fed has aggressively raised rates, trying to slow the economy to choke off inflation, which it's done a good job. It looks like a lot of the inflationary numbers are starting to come in, but almost always it's followed by a recession. But the Fed has a couple levers to pull, you know. So they have their targets are inflation and jobs, and unemployment numbers are pretty good. They've been consistently good, Inflation numbers are coming down a bit. So with rates up near, you know, over five, that gives the Fed some ammunition to cut rates when we do get into recession. So that's ultimately what they're doing. They're raising rates aggressively to choke off the inflationary pressure on the notion that, okay, once we do hit an economic slowdown, looking like first quarter next year, it might be the end of this year, then they'll have the ability to go in and cut rates and stimulate the economy with monetary fiscal policy. So it really is a very data-dependent market. You can see, you know, like Dave said, there is a widening of breadth of equity. It wasn't just 10 tech stocks leading the way, but now there is participation from other sectors. So we think ultimately the equity markets are pretty healthy. We anticipate some volatility moving forward, which would be good for, you know, when the capital infusion comes in from the ARC payment from the city, we'll be able to deploy that strategically. So like Dave mentioned, we're going to be looking at adding to fixed income, strategically trimming some of the equity, and then just, you know, kind of batten down the hatches and see where we can get some returns. Ultimately, next year, if you look at this just from a price to earnings and kind of where we see equity markets, next year we see a pretty muted market expectation. S&P, typically, we're looking around anywhere from 6 to 8%. So we're going to have to get creative from where we're going to generate our returns, like to try to match what we did this year. So ultimately, volatility, but some strategic opportunities, like in the small and mid-cap area, like Dave mentioned. They've been a little bit of a laggard now, but we see some opportunity for them from a valuation standpoint for next year. So all in all, we think the allocation's in pretty good shape. I went through this pretty quickly. If there's any questions, certainly we can field any questions or comments from the audience. Otherwise, that's pretty much all we have to say for the end of this year.
Questions or comments?
Okay, thank you.
Any questions or comments? Seeing none, we've gone through the whole agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Cannon made the motion. Trustee McDermott made the second. Any discussion? All those in favor? Trustee Cannon?
Aye.
Trustee McDermott?
Aye.
Trustee Brooks?
Aye.
Trustee Ribeiro?
Aye.
I think Trustee Morrow may have left for his 50th birthday early.
Nope, I'm here. I'm a yes. I'm still here.
Happy birthday.
Trustee Happy Morrow, birthday.
How do you vote on adjournment?
Happy birthday.
Yeah, I'm good on adjournment.
I'm an I as well. Happy birthday, Trustee Morrow. Everyone have a great day.
Thanks, man. Happy birthday.
All right, see you later.